Morning, the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. Book of Joshua, chapter number 6. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find that on page 264. Joshua, chapter number 6. I appreciate the spirit in our church this morning. Sure is a joy to go to church where the Spirit of God is. I'd hate to think I had to go to a place where God was not. I sure am glad that He's here with us today. And so I bless Him for it. I want to start a thought this morning here with Joshua. And I want to preach on this topic on what a day to be Joshua in Jericho. What a day to be a Joshua in Jericho. The Bible said, now Jericho was straitly shut up or walled around. The gates were closed because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given in thine hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all you men of war. Go round about the city once. Thou shalt do it 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. The priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. The people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. What's that? That's the holy box. That's the presence of God. In that box is where God met with His people. It had there the tables of the law. It had a pot of manna where God had reigned for 40 years for them children, day in, day out. And then He had the rod of Moses or of Aaron that had budded. And so He said, I want you to take up this Ark of the Covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And He said, the people pass on, compass the city. Let him that's armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord. They blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, you need to underline this, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. They came to the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning. The priests took up the ark of God. 7 priests bearing the trumpets of the ark before the Lord went on continually. Blew with the trumpets. The armed men went before them. And the reward came after the ark of the Lord. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. The second day they compassed the city once and went back to camp. And they did it 6 days. Came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early. About the dawning of the day, compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. They went around it 1 time a day for 6 days. Now the 7th day they're doing what God said. They're going around it the 7th time. Came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you a city. The Bible said, verse 17, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein of the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. Why'd she make it? She had something in her window. Come tell it, the Bible says a scarlet line. Wasn't just any line, it's a scarlet thread. She'd hid the men of God. God said, because she believed what I'm doing, I'm going to make a way out for you. Said, when we come back and destroy this place, be sure you have a scarlet thread in the window. And even though that your house is on the wall, when it falls, we're going to spare your house. Verse 18, when it falls, keep yourselves from the cursed thing, lest you make your things a curse. You make the camp cursed and trouble it. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold, the vessels of brass and iron, they're consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. Came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout. The wall fell down flat so that the people went up in the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city. Thank you for standing this morning. I want to share with you a few thoughts today on what a day to be a Joshua at Jericho. Now, Jericho is a type of the world. And God has taught Joshua many things. Now he's reached a difficult place in his life. I wonder if it's anybody here today that you've got some difficult things staring at you in your face. You say, well, preacher, what was his problem? Well, it was a wall around what he's needing to get into. And I think a lot of times that we find ourselves facing walls. Matter of fact, I looked it up this morning and I wanted to see what that it would say about the wall. And it said it's a continuous structure, that encloses or divides an area. This morning there may be a wall between you and where God's wanting to get you at. You may have a wall of anger. There may be a wall of bitterness. There may be a wall of jealousy. There may be a wall of envy. There may be a wall of pride. There may be a wall of hurt. But I guarantee you there are some things, some walls in our lives keeping us from getting to where God wants us to go. Jericho was a place and a type of the world. And certainly Joshua was sitting there viewing the walls of that city. And he was thinking the whole time, how am I going to get over that? Matter of fact, there has to say that sometimes this wall would exceed, I think, 30 feet in height. It was some 12 feet wide. Massive structure. Have you ever tried to get over something and you just couldn't get over it? Have you ever tried to get through something and you knew that God wanted you to get to the other side of it, but it seemed to have you blocked? There's some of you this morning, God's wanting you to have eternal life, but you see a lot of walls that are staring you in your face of why that you can't get saved. A lot of times in our Christian walk of life, God wants to take us into places that we've never been before, but there's obstacles and there's hurdles in our way to get there. I don't know about you, but I want to be like what Brother DeWayne said this morning. I want to be a Barnabas Christian. I want to be somebody that God can use and God can rely upon. Can I tell you, there's a generation counting on us to get through some obstacles that Jericho has in our lives. There are four things I want to share with you. And by way of introductory, I want to give you the outline because I'll probably not get it all said. But I want to say, first of all, in the life of Joshua, you'll notice there is wisdom discerned. I love to hang around people with wisdom. I'm going to share with you his wisdom this morning. And then not only his wisdom discerned, but secondly, there's a worship described. He had great worship in his life. And I've noticed this, you're never going to get through the walls that God wants you to get through unless there's a deep worship in your life. Thirdly, not only is there a wisdom discerned and a worship described, but there's a word declared. God gave him instructions of how to do it, and it didn't make a lot of sense to him. I wonder if God ever told you something that didn't make a lot of sense to you. You know, I've noticed, I remember one night Brother Lee spoke up. We don't have conference, as you say here, but we do read minutes and we read reviews and we tell of the blessings of God. And I remember one night Brother Mike read the report and we gave out more than we took in. And I said, well, Brother Mike, that don't add up. And Brother Lee spoke up and he said, but God's math is not our math. And so a lot of times God will ask you to do things that don't make sense to you. And so here in this passage, we not only see this wisdom described this wisdom discerned, this worship described, this word declared, but I want to tell you today, there were some walls destroyed. Wouldn't that be a blessing if you came in this church today and you were facing some walls, some obstacles in your life that was keeping you getting what God wanted you to have, but you could leave out knowing God had flattened some walls for you. Now, I want to say, first of all, this wisdom discerned. I love to hang around people that gives me wisdom. I want to say that He taught us something in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 1. He taught us something about people, the champions in our life. You know, thank God for good role models. Joshua sat under one of the greatest preachers God ever called to preach. His name was Moses. Moses had seen so many amazing things in his ministry. Could you imagine taking a church when Moses was pastored there and you had to step in the shadow of Moses? A lot of people think, well, that would be no problem. Well, it wouldn't be no problem unless you followed a Moses. Because I'll remind you, he done some things with the people they'd never seen before. And nobody else was chosen to do it but Moses. I thank God for a lot of Moseses in my life. I thank a Brother Elmer Kaysen that come by and won me to the Lord. I'm glad I seen an old man that the Germans had shot his legs out from under him and he had compassion on this preacher. He took his Saturday off to come tell me about the love of the Lord Jesus. I wish we could all get a burden for sinners as Brother Elmer had. And then Brother Monroe Wiggins was my hero. I remember seeing Brother Monroe preach and boy, how he had the fire of God, Brother Dennis, upon him. Brother Jerry, I think you got saved under that man of God's ministry. And boy, aren't you glad there's been some Moseses, Brother Mike, that God has used in our life. But here Joshua, the Bible says in chapter number 1 and verse 1, now, after the death of Moses, Moses died. Matter of fact, the people loved him so much, they're going to make a shrine about his bones. And God hid his bones from them. Matter of fact, there's a squabble over them. And so, you say, well, preacher, what's the wisdom here he's given us about the people, the champions in our life? I want to say that he pressed on. You see, I don't care who has died in your life. Death don't come easy. Death affects people. And who am I to get up here and say that I could press on if I lose my mate, the most wonderful lady that's ever set foot in this world? She's sitting on that second pew there this morning. And you know, it'd be easy for me to tell you to press on, but I'm going to tell you I have lost some champions in my life. And here, if we're going to learn anything from the wisdom of Joshua, he did not get bogged down in who God had took out of his life. Certainly, I think it's a lot of times we say, well, nobody else is doing it that way anymore. What's the use? Or I miss them too much, or I can't do what he can do. You're right, sir. Ma'am, you're exactly right. We cannot do what they've done, but the God that did it through them can do it through us this morning. There's wisdom discerned. He shared with us wisdom. He said, now the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass, and the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He took care of his preacher. Boy, ain't it amazing, those that take care of God's preacher, God takes care of them. Somebody say amen right there. I go to a lot of places, and I can pull up and tell you if they take care of their preacher. God smiles on people that takes care of their preacher. And so he gives us wisdom about the people, champions in his life. Aren't you glad you've had some champions in your life? But maybe they're gone and you have nobody to look to. But let me tell you, maybe you need to look above that grave. Maybe you need to look above that sorrow and that grief and realize the God that used them and the God that breathed on them can use you and breathe on you. You say, preacher, I don't have a heritage today. Then I'd start me a heritage today. I'd run toward Calvary and I'd get through that wall of separation and I'd cry and say, God, by faith, I'm coming to you, and I want you to use me and make something out of me in spite of what I've done to myself. You see, there's discernment. The people, the champions in life, he pressed on. Number two, he taught us about some places in life. If people are the champions, then these places are some challenges. Did you notice what happened? Verse 2. Soon as he took this role of leadership, Brother Dwayne, he faced the Jordan. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise and go over. Look here, you can underline it because there's going to be a lot of them in your life. This Jordan. What is that, Pastor? Oh, it's something that you can't get over by yourself. But you'll notice this, he did cross over by the help and the grace of God, and he didn't stay there. He moved on, and I want to say, in his wisdom, we discern how he pressed on, but secondly, he passed on. I'm glad there's some hard things in my life has come, but I sure am glad that they didn't knock me out of the race. I'm glad that I just picked up what I had and got across it and passed on for the good glory of God. Can I tell you, every Jordan in our life, they'll stop you every time. But aren't you glad that failure is not final? Brother Matthew said he felt like throwing the towel in. Many of you have felt like throwing the towel in. I remember last week I preached on a Monday night. I felt so low. It was unbearable nearly how I felt. My church here, and I was a long way off, and I mean, nobody to talk to, just feel alone. And there's Jordans come in our life that get us stopped. But you know, here Joshua gives us some great wisdom. He passed on. You can't do nothing about what's happened back yonder. All you can do about it is what you're going to do tomorrow and today. Failure's not final. He is a God of second chance. So we find here on Joshua the wisdom discern the people, the champions in life. And then there were some places, there's challenges in life. But then I seen something last night and I really hadn't had time to develop it, but I want to preach on it sometime. I want you to look at it in Joshua 5 and verse number 10. We get some wisdom discerned about people, about places, but now he gives us some good wisdom about provisions. Provisions. They've got over this Jordan. They've got over the death of Moses. He's carrying the people on into the promised land. And watch what it says in Joshua 5:11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the Marah after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn. In the selfsame day. And here's the verse. And the manna ceased on the morrow. After they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. What's the thought, Pastor? 40 years. They had woke up except on the Sabbath day, the ground was white. God had rained them provisions for 40 years, and all of a sudden they woke up one day and the provisions wasn't there no more. Now I want to ask you something. You can't plant nothing in a desert. God's put them over in the promised land, Canaan land. And so he found out into the provisions, these are the changes in life. He had to learn to plow on. Listen, we're not to expect the extraordinary supplies when they can be had in an ordinary way. God works no unnecessary miracles. Gifts are not so helpful as labor. Remember when I'd lost some money? Holy Ghost said, "Welcome to the real world. Change comes." You know, I think a lot of times these children, they took for granted for 40 years what God had given them. But I've noticed this, when things quit falling from heaven, all of a sudden you're made aware. Wow, look what I had. Matter of fact, I wonder what we thanked Him for yesterday. If we had that today, what we'd have today. You think, well, I hadn't got nothing. Well, you just wait till it quits falling. Said that the manna never fell again. 40 years, that took a lot of things for granted. We take a lot of things for granted at Liberty Baptist. You better wake up this morning. You better get off of your seat and do nothing. You better wake up out of your spiritual sleep and realize there's a God of heaven that's a fallen manna in this place. One of the best choirs in the country. Best musicians they are. The best singers there are singing. And a pretty good plug preacher, amen. And a pretty good assistant plug preacher. You got good pews to sit on. Nice chandeliers. Thermostats, everything's fine. But when little hard times come, Joshua's taught me, don't sit down in a pity party. Just do the things that God's give you to do with and plow on for the glory of God. I know times are hard. There ain't no time to throw the towel in now. The same God that rained that manna let the corn come up out of the ground. If you'll get off your backside and do something for the glory of God. A lot of people said, well, I can't get my bills paid. Well, are you looking for a job? There's more jobs than what we think they are. You walk in McDonald's, these boys in there are working. If I couldn't get their job, I'd be embarrassed. You can do with that. Am I all right? I mean, they can't even keep their britches up. No time to throw your hands up when hard times hit. Trust God, get to plowing. A lot of folks just quit. You know, I've often wondered this, what's the hardest? And I found out. Is the hardest in life to never have nothing, but to have everything and lose it all. I wondered what it was. I've been on both sides. And I tell you what the hardest is, when you have everything and you lose it all. Because if you never had it, you don't know how they feel. Joshua had had it all. Oh, my God, I love preaching. Y'all may not love me as your preacher, but I love preaching to you. Every morning he walked out of his tent and stepping on God's blessings. As far as he could look, 1.5 to 3 million of them was been fed from heaven. God is sitting there and said, I ain't heard nothing from nobody this morning. We walk out of our tents and we take for granted everything God's give us. I got more clothes in a closet than every man in this building could wear this morning. I was a little old kid. I don't want to be on no old sad tales. I'm just going to tell you what side of the track I cover. I wore the boys' clothes from down the road till I was grown and was proud to get a hold of them. I had a mama who could make homemade biscuits. We didn't have a lot, but we had enough. And what we had, we thank God for what we had. A lot of times God has to let these things quit falling from heaven to wake us up and realize where they're coming from. Manna stopped. Matter of fact, I'd say when God quits pouring it in down here, He'll probably get some of our attention. You think everybody goes to church where they'll shake your hand? You think everybody goes to church that sings those songs and preaches out of a King James Bible? You think everybody goes to church where people will love them and will accept them of who they are and how they are? But they don't. The wisdom we discern. Number two, the worship described. He has an experience. I'm glad I've had an experience. Look in 13 of Joshua 5. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he isn't looking at it. He said, how in the world am I going to get across that? Now, God, you done told me I could have that. How am I going to get over to it? How do I get a hold of what you want me to get when this big wall's staring me in the face? Well, Jesus comes on the scene. Isn't that just like Him to show up and you not expecting Him? Now, Jericho was straightly shut up, he said. But it come to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? You know what he said to? Boy, this humbled him. Look what he said. And he said, nay. Let me get on this pew. Scoot them books over so everybody can hear this. The Lord didn't come to take sides. He come to take over. Amen. Joshua said, I want to know something. Whose side you on? He said, I ain't on nobody's side. I'm on my side. Matter of fact, Joshua didn't know that it was the Lord. What is this? Oh, this is a theophany or a... You'll notice there's an appearance of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. And He manifests Himself through another. A lot of times we see this theophany as an angel of the Lord. Certainly you remember at Jacob's ladder, He come as a wrestler. But here He come as a warrior. Had His sword drawn. I wish some preachers would realize this thing ain't all buttermilk. Worship described. He revealed a fact. Isn't that something when we're sitting there staring at something, wondering how we're going to get over it? The Lord will manifest Himself to us. He revealed a fact. God's interested in our walls. Now, excuse me, brethren. I don't see where he's on an altar begging God, and I'm all for it. I don't see no place where he is blowing horns saying, God, send me some. But I do see something just like our God, how good he is and how compassionate he is. When we don't even think to pray, he comes to where we are. I mean, he's sitting there viewing them walls wondering, how am I going to get over this? And all of a sudden, God just reveals himself to him. I'm sure that God has done that to you many times. Many situations, he sent you a word. I sure am glad that he's in the word-sending business. Matter of fact, he's used little birds to send words. Noah was in the ark, sent a bird out, sent him a bird back, sent him a word by a little bird told me so. Brother Dana preached that series one time. I thought about it, Brother Dwayne was preaching this morning. You missed one of the best messages that's ever been preached in here. You know, Peter, talking about these little birds, he sure did keep that rooster busy, didn't he? About every time that rooster bred to eat corn, God said, crow. But he said, man, I wish Peter would act right. I could get me something to eat. Isn't that just like our good God to come around and reveal a fact that he's interested in you? Can I tell you, I don't care what you're facing this morning, he's interested in what you're facing. There's problems all over this assembly that we're all facing that we don't know how to handle. We don't know how we're going to get over. We don't know how we're going to get through. We don't know how we're going to make it. But let me tell you something, God's interested in it. You know, you talk to somebody a lot of times, they say, pray for me. And you know, we kindly say, well, I'll pray for you. Let me tell you something. God does more than prays for us. God comes and sees about us. And I want you to notice here on what a day to be a Joshua at Jericho. Not only this wisdom discerned, but this worship described. It revealed a fact. And notice this. He reverenced his face. Verse 14, he said, nay, he said, but I'm captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, some of you may think this was an angel, but let me tell you, honey, an angel will not let you worship them. This was a manifestation of God. I sure am glad God has manifested Himself to me. Can I tell you, when you was minding your own business, God loved you enough to manifest Himself to you. You'll not get saved on your time. You'll not get saved by yourself. You'll get saved when God comes to you. I'm glad He died for all. Matter of fact, he said if he'd be lifted, he'd draw all men to him. If we want more men drawn, maybe we want to get in the lifting business. You see, there's a revealed fact. There's a reverenced face. Verse 15, there's a respected foot. I want to preach from just a minute. Did you notice what I read? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe, singular, from off of your foot. For the place where you standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Something got my attention there, Brother Tim, last night. I said, Lord, you told Moses to take his shoes off. But you told him to take his shoe off. To expose his foot. Singular. Said, God, why would you tell a man that? Two things. One was a covenant. And the book of Ruth, chapter number 4, don't go there, but you will find that a covenant, when one was made between one and the other and one couldn't pay, they would simply take their shoe off. They would hand it to the other. I'm talking about worship described. You see, you know what God's fixing to tell him now? Not only do we see wisdom discerned and worship described, but look in chapter 6, there's a word declared. He's fixing to tell him how to handle his walls. Now, Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in and none came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given in thine hand Jericho and the king and the mighty men of Ai. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war. Go around about the city once, and thou shalt do it 6 days. Seventh day you march around it 7 times. And then he said, verse 5, "It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up to every man straight before him." And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Get at it." You know what God told him to do? He said, "If you'll just hop on down there," he said, "I'm going to do something for you." Can I tell you, a lot of times the reason we don't see more walls come down, because we got too much in it ourselves. I said, "Lord, why did you tell him to take his shoe off?" Well, I want you to see, first of all, we'll see these orders are shared. God always tells us how to do things, but then there's obedience showed. He went and done what God said do. I don't know about you, but I've done found out what I can do to my walls. I wonder what God could do to yours. Then there's an observant scene. He took his shoe off. And he went down there and he told them, "Boys, God's done told me something and it ain't going to make sense." And then we're going to see the walls destroyed. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. Can you imagine Joshua? He's took Moses' place and he's done walked over there to Jordan, got every one of them across it. Boy, they got great respect for him. I mean, they starting to get their eyes on him. And God said, "You know, Joshua, I'm going to save you a lot of heartaches and a lot of trouble." He said, "I want you to take your shoe off, because I don't you to forget you ain't doing nothing without me. I want you to realize when you walk back down there in front of your people and you tell them you're fixing to take that town, I want you to have your shoe in your hand. And when you march around that city, you keep your shoe off. And when you get back home and the wall falls down, when they look at you, they'll know you ain't done nothing, because it's a hurting you to even walk around behind your bunch." Can I tell you, a lot of times, honey, in order for us to get our walls down, it's going to require some pain. Have you ever tried to walk out on gravel barefooted? When I was a little old boy, I could do pretty good of going barefooted. I've seen young'uns run out across the driveway. But now, if I go get the paper in the box, I'll put on my Crocs or my flip-flops, amen. But God said, "Boy, you leave your shoe off a while. That way you won't get too big for your britches. It'd do us good today to run to the God of heaven, throw our shoe on the altar. Say, 'God, I can't do it, but I know you can do it. And God, if you'll just give me grace to follow you and obey you, and God, when it don't make no sense, I'm going to trust you anyhow.'" Sherry, you come. I want you to play. Boy, I bet when them walls fell flat, they fell in too. And boys went straight in the town and burned it down. Got all the nice stuff, took it to the house of God. He said, "When you get in there, them obstacles in your life," he said, "I want you to kill it. I want you to get rid of it, because I want you to go farther out in the promised land."
Boy, I bet on the sixth day, can you imagine Joshua sort of walking around? They say, well, why ain't the man, why won't the boy put his shoes back on? Why won't he put his shoe back on? Said, we need to take up an offering, buy him a pair of shoes. He said, no, I got shoes. Said, over yonder where I met God, he told me to take my shoe off. And I done found out what I can do. I can do nothing. I think about maybe that evening on the sixth hour, that bunch come back and looked at him. And that morning, the Bible said he got up early. Don't you know he got up early waiting to see what God is going to do? Because he is going on a promise. You hear me, neighbor? Hey, it wasn't his plan. He is going on a promise. He got up on the seventh day. He said, glory to God, I hardly just can't stand to watch it. They lapped that place. And on the seventh lap, he said, now, hey, I want y'all to shout. All of a sudden, when they shouted, the wall fell down. They looked around at Joshua and said, I know he didn't do it. He's got his shoe off, glory to God. He can't do nothing for himself. But there's a God in heaven can do anything for us this morning. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, it'd be a blessed God. We'd take our shoe off and say, God, I can't do it. But I know you can. Whatever you need this morning, you come bring it to Him. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. God will take that wall down. If you'll do simply as He told you to do, just march that way. Just walk. Trust Him. A lot of you are looking for things. A lot of you are trying to get through walls by yourself. Won't you take your shoe off this morning? Say, God, my weakness, I can't do it without You. There's been times I've laid my altar. I said, God, I can't fix that church. God, I done seen what I can do. But God, I'm leaving my shoe off this morning. And I asked You to fix some things in my life and some other people's lives. Won't You come today to simply gather around this altar, whatever you need in your life. I know the Lord can help you with it. Maybe there's some walls that need to be broken down. I can tell you, friend, God can take care of walls that separated you to get you to where you need to be. Oh, God, give us direction. Give us discernment. Help us to stay little. And realize, God, we can't do this without You. Oh, God, may every time I think I'm doing something, God, will You show me this old shoe? I can't do it without You, Lord. Oh, God, I walk east and the soles come off and I can't do it, but You can do it. And I bless You that You're that kind of God. I want to thank You. When I wasn't looking, You was. And I want to thank You for the big walls that's come in my life to keep me out of being to where I need to be. You made a way. And I bless You for that this morning.